Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Hamas says it released the bodies of four Israeli hostages, but the Israeli Defense Forces says on social media one of the remains cannot be identified. It was believed the bodies were an 83-year-old man, as well as Shira Bibas and her two young children. More from correspondent Deborah Pata reporting in from East Jerusalem.
Under a grim Gaza sky, four coffins were paraded in a Hamas propaganda spectacle. The fighters handed over the bodies of four-year-old Ariel Bibas and his nine-month-old brother Kafir. Israel says their mother Shiri was not among them. The family has become an indelible symbol of the October 7 terror attack.
Israel is on alert after bombs exploded on buses. As Miriam Herzlag reports from Tel Aviv, the buses were empty and unexploded bombs were found on other buses.
Israeli police say Arabic writing on one device suggests the bombs were planted by Palestinians from the West Bank.
President Trump's national security advisor fields questions about the war in Ukraine after Trump's recent comments that criticized its leader.
President Trump recently called Ukrainian President Zelensky a dictator and blamed Ukraine for the war, even though Russia invaded that country. When questioned if he concurred, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz said,
"There has been ongoing fighting on both sides. It is World War I style trench warfare."
He also criticized Zelensky because he would not sign over Ukraine's rights to rare earth minerals.
"There are tremendous resources there."
Top U.S. officials have met with Russian counterparts to discuss an end to the war. Ukraine was not included in the talks. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The Senate has narrowly voted to confirm Kash Patel as President Trump's FBI director. As our Scott McFarlane reports, Patel has fiercely criticized the agency he now runs.
"The concern is about the alliance there. Kash Patel has also been a pretty provocative surrogate for the presidency. He has been a loyal defender of January 6th. Capitol rioters. He's been somebody who said there should be prosecutions of political enemies and the media."
Eric Adams will remain the mayor of New York City. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, says instead of removing him, there will be a series of oversight measures aimed at ensuring the city runs smoothly under his leadership.
"It is my sincere hope that these dark days will pass, elections will occur, and the people of New York will decide who they trust to govern this extraordinary city."
That next mayoral election comes in November. Adams faces five federal charges of corruption and bribery, charges which the DOJ says should be suspended. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Bobby Portis suspended 25 games. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Bobby Portis suspended for the next 25 games by the NBA. After testing positive for a non-approved painkiller, Portis says he thought he was taking Toradol for an elbow injury. Instead, an assistant of his gave him a prescription of Tramadol, a painkiller banned by the league last spring. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers:
"I just feel bad for Bobby on so many levels. You know, dude's gone through a lot, you know, this year with his mom passing and, you know, his house been broken in and then this, you know. You know, the thing I did tell him is this is going to be one hell of a story for you. You know, our goals haven't changed as a team. This is going to be harder. I mean, Bobby's a huge loss. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that. He's been so good for us. Not only on the floor, but his spirit. Like, we need his spirit."
The Bucks hosting the Clippers. A recap coming up later tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The third season of White Lotus has dropped on Max, and the HBO show has created some controversy thanks to nitpicky social media followers always looking for something to overanalyze. Every season has a new cast, location, and theme music. Season 2's theme music was so popular, it played in nightclubs across Europe. Season 3's theme music has not been well received. Great thing to stress over in this day and age. If you haven't seen White Lotus yet, give it a chance. Saturday Night Live kicks off a new 50 years in March. March hosts will include comedian Shane Gillis and Lady Gaga. Neither are strangers to the SNL stage. Gillis will host the show for the second time on March 1st. The musical act will be Tate McRae. Gaga will wear hosting and musical hats as she covers both roles on March 8th. Gaga has hosted the show before and performed as the musical guest four times previously. Wonder if they'll be invited to the 100th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, lows 0 to 5 below. Sunny and milder tomorrow, highs near 20. Continued warming for the weekend, mostly sunny and around 30 Saturday, more clouds and upper 30s Sunday. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, we discuss the idea that women should just make sandwiches for their men and maybe shouldn't even have the right to vote, because that's what's coming from the MAGAs. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake, and we need to stay awake with what's going on here. We've got Robert Lilligren on today, and then Robert Blake from Red Lake, and Robert Pilot. So, Haley, we're changing your name today to Robert.
I know. I know. I almost put the description of the show as the Robert Show, and I was like, oh, wait, I guess I'll be there too.
So when I first was thinking about being an entrepreneur in high school, I got together with a friend of mine and we were doing wallpapering and we put an ad in the paper and everything. And his name was Robert. So it Robert's wallpapering.
Wallpampering?
Yeah, that too. I knew nothing about it, so that didn't last very long. But we got a lot of calls.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. They must have, yeah, thought like you cloned yourself and made a little helper for yourself.
Well, yeah. So there's, before we get Robert Lilligren on, I know there's a bunch of stuff going on and want to give a quick shout out to what's happening in the community here. Again, a big shout out to Leonard Peltier and what's going on in the Dakotas right now with him and the celebrations and you see our friends there and wish them all well.
Yeah, that was amazing. Follow Indian Collective on socials to follow along with Leonard's homecoming in North Dakota. I saw that our friends Rachel Dion Thunder and her husband Vinny were able to present Leonard with an Eagle Staff, and that was really beautiful.
Yeah.
Minneapolis represent Indigenous Protectors Movement.
It was the same staff that they used from the walk that she did along with Vinny and many other people from Minneapolis to Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was super cool. So, yeah, in his speech, too, Leonard got a little teary-eyed. And that's what I was wondering is how is he able to hold those tears back, you know, after all those welcome homes and the celebration and the line of cars that welcomed him back to reservation land. And, wow, just I was reflecting on it too. 50 years in prison, that's almost double my lifetime, just to put in perspective.
Yeah, well, I would have been in prison since I was 13.
Yeah.
So right? Think about that too.
That's
crazy. Hold on a second. The dog's knocking on the door. Talk to our friends. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Well, I want to shout out the Minneapolis American Indian Center. They're hosting the creation of a traditional Dakota canoe right now. And this project is being supported by Minnesota State Arts Board, Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment, as well as the Minneapolis American Indian Center and Wakan Tipi, Sisters Camelot Organic Foods, and Great Lake Lifeways Institute. I heard that McGeezy is there today, and yesterday they had some kids out of Little Earth working on that canoe. And yeah, I saw two Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish posted on her social media a couple pictures of that canoe. So yeah, looks like she was able to check that out. If you want to view that work on the canoe and visit the Minneapolis American Indian Center, you can check out that until the 21st of February. And they'll be out there in the rotunda from 9:30 to 4.
Hey, I had my friend Barry Hand, who's working on that, send me a few pictures too. And yeah, I think he was one of the people that got it really going because, you know, Ho-Chunk had our dugout canoe up here, and he called me up and texted me and wants me to get Bill Quackenbush to race them down at Pike Island. So
that'd be fun.
And we can bring
a big crowd out for that.
Bring the pontoon down for that.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was kind of curious to like, how is a Ho-Chunk dugout canoe different from a Dakota dugout canoe? I'm wondering.
I don't know. I think they're done the same way with a tree and a chopper. And I think you use some fire to loosen up the tree. And
We'll have to ask Bill. We'll get Bill back on. I know I heard he just lost to some Ojibwe's at the snow snake games.
Yeah. I don't believe that.
We got to like do a redo or something, because as Ho-Chunks, we don't lose
That's right. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren on today, and he's in the bullpen. Let's grab him before this gets any more crazy about racing and bow and arrows and things like that. Hey, Robert, welcome. Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And our friend, welcome as always.
Yeah, bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. It's always so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, there's so much to talk about, but I want to lead off and talk about the official beginning of a campaign that I saw today. And I know we saw her at the MMIW march, and she spoke great as she always does. But officially, it came down today that our friend and your friend, Lieutenant Governor, is now officially running.
Yeah, it's big news. Our White Earth sister, Peggy Flanagan, who's currently our lieutenant governor here in Minnesota, the highest ranking Native woman in executive office in the country, even today. And so our great Senator Tina Smith, who has really represented our people very well from the Indian Affairs Committee and in D.C., announced that she's retiring after her term, which ends next year, 2026. So that means the election of 2026 will have an open Senate seat, which doesn't happen very often in this world and in this state. And Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan from White Earth announced her intent to run within hours of Senator Smith's announcement, which I give her a lot of credit for, being ready to go like that. Mm-hmm. And then today put out her sort of official communique that she's running. And so she is so qualified, such an attractive candidate, and I look forward to supporting her campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were able to see you. We didn't have you on last week, but we were able to see you at the MMIR march. And I saw too that you and I took a picture of Lieutenant Governor and I, and then I saw you post one without me, so I got a little sad.
Yeah, I had to edit you out. Sorry, Robert. Peggy, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and I have a history of doing selfies, right, and not just at that event, but whenever we see each other. And so I did get a selfie with her, posted that on social media. But I'm really impressed. And Peggy served as a school board member here in Minneapolis back in the early 2000s, and then as a state legislator representing the suburban area of St. Louis Park, where she's from, where she lives today, and then served as our elected lieutenant governor for now almost two terms. And so it's hard to imagine somebody being more qualified, but she's just kind of this almost magical kind of person and politician, where she has a huge ability to hear what people are saying and to help identify kind of what needs to be done, and then use her elected positions to effectuate that, right? Yeah. Change really translates people's needs, wants, desires into government action.
Yeah, definitely. And well, let's talk a little bit more about her, but I know in the next segment, I know there's things that she didn't agree with the governor with, and that she's her own person, and that's good to know, and have a lot of support. And I just, we got like 15 seconds here left before we go to the segment, but I just am always amazed when I see her speak to people, speak to the crowds, and there's no teleprompter, you know. She's brilliant.
She speaks from the heart, and people respond to it. I saw a brief interaction with her and an elder. I don't think she was a Native woman, but at the end of it, whatever the elder was saying, Peggy had tears running down her face. So, you know, she's just very authentic.
Absolutely. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Robert Lilligren, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota History Center, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, I just wanted, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and I just wanted to finish up our thoughts a little bit on the Lieutenant Governor running for Senator. And again, Robert Lilligren is President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. Minneapolis, and always great to have you on. And I'm excited. It always gets the darkest before sunrise, and I think these kind of announcements really can fire us up in a good way.
I agree. And you know, it's if or when Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, our White Earth Ojibwe sister, gets elected, that's a 6-year term, right? So yeah. Her term will outlive the current president's, which is nice. I'm sure many of us are gearing up for the 2026 midterms, and hopefully we can flip the Congress and the Senate and put some guide rails around this out of control president. And so there are kind of things to be hopeful for. And you know, I was just at a small business I love here in South Minneapolis, Clancy's Butcher Shop, this afternoon, and talking to the owner there. And we were both, you know, and so many people have this attitude. It's like, you know, I'm going to hold some hope and some positivity somewhere inside because we need it to get through this, right? We all know it's going to be horrible for the next several years, or at least in the short term. And we can't just, for me, I can't just let that mean that I just collapse or give in. Joy is resistance right now, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to look for the joy.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's interesting. I don't know if you saw this, but former punter Chris Cluey of the Minnesota Vikings, that was amazing. And, you know, he was on the team for 8 years, and he stood up for GLBT rights. And he was
in a big way.
And he was cut during the prime of his career.
Right. You know, those, it's just a good reminder, right? Those kinds of statements, that kind of activism has impact on people's careers, ability to learn. And so we need to be, you know, especially aware and deliberate about supporting allies, whether it's LGBTQ two-spirit or whether it's our Native community allies, our non-Native allies. We need to be supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I did not realize until I read Peggy Flanagan's announcement today, that if she were elected to the Senate, she would be the first Native woman ever elected to the Senate.
Wow.
I mean, it's about time, right?
Yeah. There must have been, I think there was a Republican in what, Alaska or something like that, that was a senator?
So they've been House members, right?
Okay.
So there's been Deb Haaland, Cerise Davids. I'm just striving to remember the First Nations Alaska House member, but I guess there's never been one from the Senate.
Wow. Well, you know, that's I definitely was handing out cards and talking to the Lieutenant Governor's PR person about really getting her on here. It'd be great to have you both on here. Maybe just hand over the show to you two one night. It would be great.
Love it. Anytime I can spend with our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, I'm thrilled to do it.
Yeah. Hey, so what else is going on? I mean, you introduced me to a person there. There's local politics. There's always something going on. What's the temperature and what's happening in Minneapolis right now?
So there's our... This is a municipal election year for Minneapolis, so it's our mayor, our 13-member city council, everyone's up for re-election, and so there's a lot of positioning, jockeying, a lot of returning council members, a few retiring, our incumbent mayor is running again as well, and so there's a strong sense that we need change in City Hall, right? And I'll just be in full disclosure, I do have a council candidate I'm supporting. Her name's Katie Cashman. I know she's a friend of the show here.
Yeah.
And she's my near neighbor and a young and really brilliant elected official. But then I'm also supporting a mayoral candidate. That's not the incumbent. And I think I can say names on this show, right, Robert?
Absolutely.
Cool. So his name's Dwayne Davis. He is just a really attractive candidate with a deep policy background at the local and national and even international levels. Mm-hmm. He's the head minister at a very prominent church here that's really close to my house, Plymouth Congregational Church. Mm-hmm. And he checks all, he's such a warm and authentic person, kind of like Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. You know, people just connect with him immediately. And so I'm supporting him. He also happens to be Black. He also happens to be gay. And so I just feel like those kind of outsider experiences really broaden a candidate and elected official's perspective. So I'm all in on him and looking forward to help him gain the support of a majority of the voters.
Well, it's great. And we'll have him on for sure. And it was funny too, Robert, that day at the march at the Indian Center, somebody came up to me, a listener, as a matter of fact, and said, I want you to meet this person. And then I saw you after that, and you said kind of the same thing. I want you to meet. And it's like, okay, the buzz is on here. This is awesome.
Nice.
I'm always open to candidates, because we always talk about at the end of the show, we need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. And we promote that, and we want to promote that for sure. I'm just excited too. When the election happened, I was down for a week. I think we did best ofs for a week, but now I'm ready to get out there and resist. Nice. And also get the word out of what's going on, and people, tell people to pull those bootstraps up. I know it's daunting and it's heavy, but our talks about what's happening, and especially with the information that you have nationally and locally, is so important for our listeners.
Well, you're too kind, and I appreciate the kind words, and I agree. And with Dwayne Davis, the mayoral candidate at the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives rally in March, I didn't know he was there. And so I connected with him kind of when it was over, and I was running him around as much as I could, introducing him to influential people like yourself. But it was amazing to me how positive the response was. And I think part of it, there's a broad sense in the community, we need a change, right? We need a change in City Hall. Almost nobody I know thinks things are going well in Minneapolis as far as governance goes. So I think people are excited about the change, but they just really instantly responded to Dwayne and his presence, and two people that he had never met before that I introduced him spontaneously gave him these big hugs. They're like, oh, you're running for mayor? Thank you. And hugged him. It was just really touching. I think that just shows how attractive of a candidate he is. He's an unknown. He's coming from outside. Very much the situation I was in when I first ran for public office. And so I feel like I have particular insight on some strategies to get him better known and things. But it's going to be an interesting, exciting election cycle. I don't know if you're following today's news, but there's been kind of an icky dispute on what to do with the site where George Floyd was murdered by Minneapolis police.
It's going back and forth. What's the update now?
Well, just today, the city council kind of rejected the community process and recommendation, a majority of council members, not unanimously, and then sent this action forward to the mayor to take a different direction, and the mayor vetoed that action. So now we have a standoff or an impasse between the mayor and a majority of the council, and there's all kinds of layers of process here, And to me, it's really disappointing. The two council members who represent the area, who are both friends of mine, who have, strong kind of constituencies, Andrea Jenkins, the first Black woman elected to office in the country, who represent, and the murder of George Floyd is just two blocks from her house, right? So it's very, very personal. And then the council member next to her, they both represent kind of sides of George Floyd Square, Jason Chavez, young Latino, queer, and again, a person who I respect, and he's very young, but they disagree. And I just think that's such a symptom of what's not working in Minneapolis city government. If these two people who have really broad perspectives and really know what's going on, if they can't sit in a room together and come to some kind of agreement, right? Some kind of compromise, I don't know how we expect our city government to really work. And so I'm disappointed that we're at this place where we're at, and I respect the sanctity of this location. And I just feel like there's got to be a way to get to agreement.
Yeah, that's sad. And just to back up what you were saying earlier, too, I believe it's good to have people boots on the ground. I don't know if our mayor's boots on the ground. We've been dealing with homeless here and getting lip service for way before the law, Wall of Forgotten Natives.
Right. And since the Wall of Forgotten Natives, there's been promises that haven't been delivered on. There's kind of a neglect of the community perspective. So it does feel very much that in the Native community, we're the most impacted by unsheltered homelessness.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News brief. Hamas says it released the bodies of four Israeli hostages, including two young children who were long feared dead. But another body released by Hamas was not the boy's mother, according to the Israeli military. More from the BBC's Danielle Yalavietska.
The IDF said a third body that was said to be of their mother, Shiri Bibas, is of an unidentified person. It said the body was not of any Israeli hostage.
National Security Advisor Mike Walls says Ukraine and its leader need to be thanking the U.S. for the billions of dollars sent over there during its war with Russia.
There needs to be a deep appreciation for what the American people, what the American taxpayer, what President Trump did.
On the U.S. Senate floor,
the yeas are 51, the nays are 49. The confirmation is confirmed.
With that, Kash Patel will serve as director of the FBI. Two Republicans, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, joined Democrats in voting to oppose him. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bobby Portis suspended 25 games. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Bobby Portis suspended for the next 25 games by the NBA. After testing positive for a non-approved painkiller, Portis says he thought he was taking Toradol for an elbow injury. Instead, an assistant of his gave him a prescription of Tramadol, a painkiller banned by the league last spring. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
I just feel bad for Bobby on so many levels. Dude's gone through a lot, this year with his mom passing and, his house been broken in and then this, the thing I did tell him is this is going to be one hell of a story for you. Our goals haven't changed as a team. This is going to be harder. I mean, Bobby's a huge loss. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that. He's been so good for us. Not only on the floor, but his spirit. Like, we need his spirit.
The Bucks hosting the Clippers. A recap coming up later tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks for the entire family. Check out the film Flo, an animated movie about a cat trying to survive a flood. Our lead feline needs to get over a solitary existence and work with other animals in similar predicaments as they all take shelter on a boat. There are no words or dialogue, but the action is continuous and the animation is almost hypnotic. Flo is a sweet, engaging film with a very nice ending, showing animals coming together to help each other. The legendary Paul Simon is capitalizing on his SNL 50th anniversary show opening number with Sabrina Carpenter. Simon has announced a new tour. It's been 7 years since the 83-year-old has packed up his guitar and hit the road. Simon will start in New Orleans in early April and at this point has two dates scheduled for Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. 83-year-old touring Paul Simon might not go late into the evening, but it's still better than non-touring Paul Simon. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, lows 0 to 5 below. Sunny and milder tomorrow, highs near 20. Continued warming for the weekend, mostly sunny and around 30 Saturday. More clouds and upper 30s Sunday. Currently it's 17 degrees.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max face the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips. Good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
With painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19. We are the boy band. Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area joins us. Pete Schwabe from Nightlight will be here to talk about the major plot flaw in the movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're talking a plethora of things, but before we get into what's happening on the corridor coming up here, let's maybe finish up a little more little political talk here. Really excited about the Lieutenant Governor and really excited about options in Minneapolis too, and especially the glaring thing with what's happening with our unsheltered relatives.
Agreed. And so we shall see, and I know that you two are aware, but if your listeners aren't, it was now, 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago, we had this all of a sudden growth of this unsheltered relatives right in the American Indian Cultural Corridor, right very near my office, our NACDC's office. We now call it the Wall of Forgotten Natives, but it was about a 300-tent encampment and very much an Occupy kind of movement, right? It was on this really crappy little strip of Minnesota Department of Transportation right away, next to a freeway, not suitable for our relatives to be living in. And when that happened, our community just rallied at every level, and the organizations and the leadership that I'm part of, Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, rapidly deployed our resources to best serve our neighbors. And when that was happening, the city, the county, the state, all the government jurisdictions were very happy to have us in the lead and redeploying our meager resources to help best serve our relatives. And then as soon as the visibility died down and the public temperature died down, then they kind of just left, right? And so we were left on our own. In many ways, people look to the city because they kind of monitor the encampments, clear encampments and things. But really, I think every jurisdiction bears responsibility and accountability here. And so from the community level, just at the end of last year, beginning of this year, we've launched a community-driven effort to design a better system, right? That puts our relatives, puts people at the center. And it's not just about housing. It really never is. You know, it's about housing. It's about chemical health, mental health, physical health. It's about employment. It's about education. It's about business opportunities. But nobody takes that holistic approach, right?
Right.
So we have said to the jurisdictions, the state, the county, the region, and the city, we can help you do better, but we don't have the resources or the authority to do it ourselves. We need you. And to their credit, they're stepping in, and at least for now, listening to us. And so we'll see if we can make some progress because, you know, in a lot of ways, each government jurisdiction has kind of better organized their resources around issues of unsheltered homelessness and opioid use and commercial sexual exploitation, all these related issues, but they haven't figured out a systemic way of collaborating and better leveraging resources across jurisdictions. So that's what we're going to do. Native people are going to lead the way, and we'll show them how to do better. We're the communities that are most impacted by these issues in our region, in our city. A Native person is 37 times more likely to be unsheltered than a white person, and 33 times more likely to die of an opioid overdose than a white person. And we know the statistics on our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives as well.
Yeah.
So it's where the greatest impact, and you're trying to create a more equitable world, focus on us.
You know, it's interesting too, as you were speaking on your truth, which is the truth. I think about the land back and a few of the things that have happened over the years in my eyes. And one of the things is the city or the state will want to return land that's really kind of messed up land, whether you have to have 100 years to clear it out before you can plant anything. And so there's all these little angles that they they come out at, you know, and interesting too, it's like they're pointing at each other. Well, have you talked to the federal government? Have you talked to the state government? Right. Have you talked to the city government?
Right. Very similar dynamics, very great points to raise, Robert. And, you know, one of the things, because we're in this very complicated environment here in Minneapolis, it's a fully developed, fully built urban environment. A lot of the most available land is the most contaminated. But also on the non-native side of the conversation, they think making land available to any natives is land back, right? Well, this is the historic lands of the Dakota people. So if you sell a contaminated site to an Ojibwe tribe for a dollar, that isn't land back. It was never their land to begin with, right? there's a level of sophistication and learning that we can kind of take advantage of right now about what land back actually means. And just in my kind of peripheral way, I'm around a couple of these projects about how, you know, there isn't a sovereign nation here in Minneapolis, but we all walk in our sovereignty every day. Right. And then there's historic sovereignty for this area. And so what is returning land here in the city of Minneapolis actually look like?
Yeah. A whole show on that too, because you know, at first, you know, I'm sure the public's going, oh, they want to give back land. And then you find out what the land is like and what, right, how polluted it is. And they're just putting it on you. And maybe it's a park that there's a lot of action going on there that we're not able to police. And so they'd want to hand it over to us. And right, so all these dynamics.
There's a lot of dynamics. I know both you, Robert, and Haley, you're close to some of these conversations. But then on the non-native side, right, there's this, I call it the braid in the room, right? If you have a native person in the conversation, you're engaging the native community, and not all native people have the authority to sort of talk about what happens to the land. Right. And so it takes a lot of understanding, a lot of sophistication to know what does land back look like here in a complicated urban environment.
Right. Well, we should learn from what happened to Manhattan with those beads and trinkets. Right. We lost Manhattan. Right?
It was $24 worth of beads and trinkets that bought Manhattan. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things I want to get to before you leave. And one is, I don't know if you've heard about the Minneapolis Parks and Rec Board is under some kind of heat recently for exclusion of local native youth basketball team.
Right. Oh, no, I'm very aware. Have you heard about that? Oh, yeah. So just quickly, the situation is we have this incredible athletic program for native youth, Red Bears, it's called. Mm-hmm. They do basketball, baseball, and stuff. Very community-focused, and it's encouraged an incredible amount of native youth to engage in organized sports. And mm-hmm. there's an iconic coach, Mukwa Roberts, who leads this effort. And so the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board is implementing a new more efficient program for registering for these teams, where you can't register a whole team. Individual athletes register, and then they're assigned to a team. So it's highly unlikely that, say, the Red Bears would be held together. And we all know the barriers for Native youth to participate in these kinds of institutional organized sports. And so they're just putting up another barrier. Mm. And the park board has really dug their heels in. They're like, this isn't a barrier. We dispute that. It's just a more efficient way. And even that language, to me, just reeks of colonization or even sort of the Nazi efforts. They were all concerned about efficiency, right? And wow. I just wonder if that's really our priority. And so last night was a Minneapolis Park and Rec Board meeting. There was a big call out for community people to show up. A number of Native folks did, and supporters, and there are other communities as well, especially on the Minneapolis North Side, which is a predominantly Black area, mm-hmm. and their coaches are opposing to this. But so they're doing, you know, after last night's direct action, the park board is reconsidering this kind of sign-up system, and on March 5th. It looks like they're going to make a final decision, so we need to keep the pressure on.
Yeah.
We need to make it clear how important these kinds of activities are in supporting teams like the Red Bears are to our community.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm great for that. Grateful for that update. You know, we got coming up here, our friend Roya Wakem up, is titled Smart Wars, is coming to Native American Community Development Institute, All My Relations Gallery.
Yeah, so Rory Wakem up is, we postponed the start of the show. It was supposed to start tonight, actually, but for a number of reasons, Rory got really sick for one of them. It's postponed a week. But this show is going to be great. Those of you who can see the graphic, get a flavor of it. And this is a through thread of a theme through Rory's work. But reimagining regalia and traditional traditions in sort of a sci-fi framework, very much like Star Wars or something. And these pieces, I've been watching the install. They're breathtaking. And Rory is, you know, really works at the intersection of arts and activism. Mm-hmm. So it's sure to be interesting. There'll be artist talks, artist community efforts as well. But I would strongly recommend that people make a point of seeing the show. It's really going to be something.
Yeah. And he used to work there. He was a curator for years, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was the director of All My Relations Arts Gallery. And if you just look at the history of who's been director at the gallery, they just have these brilliant careers. Rory in his activist space, Deani Whitehawk, who has an international career, Gracie Horn, and Angela Tussars, who's the current director. You know, she has a real international profile as a public artist. And so our little tiny gallery, and you guys know how small it is, but it's really been the launching pad for some very significant artist careers.
Wow. Well, we can't wait, and we're going to try and get out there. I'm heading to Wounded Knee next week, so I won't be able to make it until I get back. But I want to make it out there one last time before I get too old to be doing stuff like that.
It's always a heavy and significant place to visit.
It sure is. Hey, Robert, always a big thank you, Pini Gigi, for being on and sharing what's happening and really looking at it in the Native perspective. We really appreciate you. And this show is in its ninth season, and I really appreciate growing old with you.
You still have a ways to go, but thanks for having me.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always like to say that. Robert Lake with Solar Bear with the Solar News. Robert Blake. We'll be right back.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Progressive change doesn't just happen. It takes dedication and a lot of hard work. 25 years ago, the Data Bank pioneered a new generation of software tools for progressive organizations here in Minnesota. Since then, thousands of organizations have used the Data Bank to create progressive change. Today, the Data Bank continues to help progressive organizations like AM950. To have the Data Bank help your organization build capacity and create more change, text CHANGE to 612-540-0500 or go to thedatabank.com. The Data Bank, a quarter century of dedication and hard work for progressive organizations.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, I'd also like to say, Haley, this portion of the show wants to make me howl like a wolf.
Howl.
Howl.
I thought I'd ad-lib that and see Robert joined in too. He's still kind of wondering. Like,
hey, Robert, I'm having problems with my camera.
Oh, there you are. Oh, wait.
There I am.
Hey, cool.
Can you hear me, Robert?
Hear you really well, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone, but I am having problems with my camera.
I had problems my first day of work too, so I see how you're. I get it. No, hey, welcome, and we always appreciate the Solar Bear with the solar news. And geez, you have something, some solar news that kind of hits home. I wonder if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. Today I testified at the state capitol in committee. For House File 849, essentially the co-ops here in Minnesota are trying to, you know, put a dent in solar and choice for consumers. And Solar Bear is totally against this bill. And I was there with a lot of other clean energy professionals who went to the committee and testified not support of this bill. So I just want to let the listeners out there know is that House File 849, if you can call your state senators or your state reps or your state, you know, your state senators and let them know that this is something that's not good for Minnesota. And you know, because we need to be able to keep choice and be able to protect our grid and allow people, if they want to create their own energy and use it, you know, in their own home. So I just want to get that out there for everyone, Robert.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And also there's some news with your nonprofit too, that I got a couple of news release from, and I want to know what, if you want to bring it up here and announce it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that one, too. So much going on. Eight Fire Solar is going to be a program of Native Sun Community Power Development. So we're merging, and we are going to be working with Gway and his team over there and getting solar thermal onto the side of homes and businesses. So it's really exciting. A lot of the work takes place at Eighth Fire Solar in White Earth. And so we're really excited to do this. And in this bill today that I testified against would, you know, hurt the work that Eighth Fire does. And so, you know, that's why it's very important, everyone, that, you know, we keep track of these things that are happening. And of course, everyone knows that the Solar Bear is on it.
Yes, we do. We do. What else is going on? I know you got some news for us and keep on keeping, Bob, you attended Haskell, Indian Nations University, which recently had a bloodbath of layoffs and firings. You spoke about when on Facebook, you mentioned that you went there and that this isn't the first time.
Yeah, no, this isn't the first time that this has happened at Haskell, but you would be amazed, at least I was, at the dedication of the education professionals that are there at Haskell. And they weren't as, I mean, they were obviously worried about not getting a paycheck, but they were really trying to figure out, okay, how do we continue to serve the students, right? And how do we continue to provide, you know, opportunities, you know, to be able to, you know, help the kids there. So I just want to just give a big shout out to all those educational professionals across the country, and especially Haskell, that are really the good work. And you know, it takes a village, right, Robert? And you, oh, yeah, for one, were an educational professional. So, you know, really thank you to all the good work that all of you guys do, because I don't think about that. I really see the human side of that sometimes.
Right on. And I think Haley posted something in Native Roots Radio Facebook about the basketball coach, Haley.
Oh, that, for Haskell?
Yeah, that Haskell, he returned without pay. He's still going to, because there would have been no coach. And he returned to the, I believe it was a women's basketball team for the college.
Awesome.
Maybe I.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
Well, and then Robert, real quickly too, I just want to say too that I was on the Breaking Barriers podcast this morning, and early this morning, by the way, this thing starts at like 8 a.m. on the East Coast, so they got me out of bed, literally. Anyways, I was on the podcast today talking about, you know, essentially, you know, what these cuts from this administration is doing to tribal country, and of course other programs around the country, and how that, you know, this administration needs to, you know, fulfill its obligation and its, you know, and its promises to these communities. In short, just wanted to just say that's out there now. It's Breaking Barriers? Yeah, Breaking Barriers podcast. Yes. So if you want to check it out.
And they can be found on iTunes and all the other formats. Is that?
Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. You can just Google YouTube and pull that up, and you'll see the show today on the 20th. But really early over there, Robert, at 8 a.m. this morning.
Was your camera working then? Did they sabotage it here for?
Oh, no, that's when this happened. So like I was trying to turn on my Mac. My Mac is like old, everyone. And I'm just going to have to get a new Mac, but I'm attached to this computer, Robert. But yes, I need to, that's when that happened this morning. And then I try to do it again and I can't get on to my camera. Or my Mac, and
maybe
and
we can
they might have did something now to my phone now, because I can't. You guys can't see me.
Your mic sounds extra good though.
Yeah, and maybe we can get people to get in touch with you that can maybe help you out. One of our listeners. Oh, wow.
I know. Can someone help out the solar bear? There was some really good I wanted to share too. I was looking at the news and I wanted to share that with everyone. And I can't see the stories because then I will go away from this. You see what I'm saying? So it's a good thing. But I did see that there was there's plenty of jobs that were leaving Detroit, a new battery manufacturer, and they were being relocated to South Carolina. Just, you know, a lot of the things that are happening from this administration is putting a kind of a boondoggle on a lot of, you know, plans that were being made. Right. So I was just looking at a lot of those stories. A really good story that I saw was Illinois is on like record pace to create community solar gardens. Wow. in the state of Illinois. Yeah. So that's really cool. You know, things are still happening. It's just not happening at the pace that we needed to. But we just got to continue to advocate and fight for solar for everyone. And that's exactly what I was doing up at the state capitol today, Robert.
Yeah, big Peenagee, thank you. And thank you for coming on. And also, I just want to give everybody shout out that is boycotting Target. That's 15 billion.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan and founder of Warrior Songs and veterans advocate Jason Moon. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. In Israel, many gathered in Tel Aviv to mourn four dead hostages released by Gaza after 15 months. But Israel's military says one of the bodies is not a hostage and they don't know who it is. That would be a violation of a ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz says President Trump wants to see the Russia-Ukraine war end because of how brutal it has been on both sides.
There has been ongoing fighting on both sides. It is World War I style trench warfare.
President Trump marked Black History Month at the White House by announcing that he's bringing Alice Johnson, a prison reform advocate whom he pardoned in 2020, into his administration to work on clemency issues.
You've been an inspiration to people. And we're going to be listening to your recommendation on pardons.
He found out about Johnson's case from Kim Kardashian. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
James here.